Blog Talk Radio.
This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas on Thursday, February the 15th. We got it started there with the good music of my friend Carlos Guedes. Carlos is from Venezuela, and he's been kind enough to let us use his music on the program, and he's just absolutely marvelous, as you can tell from the great sound that we just heard. Today we're going to be chatting with my good friend in Portugal, João Cerqueira. João is, of course, an author. We've had him on the show many times. And today we're going to talk about a couple of things of interest to both of us on both sides of the Atlantic. The first one is the reaction. I'd like to get from João the reaction to the recent American economy. There have been generally some good news coming out of the American economy, some growth expected in 2018 and beyond because of the new tax rates and so on. Some good news in the American economy. I know we had some difficulties last week with the stock market, but I think that's a correction, not much more than that. But anyway, we'll get to hear what he has to say about how the American economy looks on the other side of the Atlantic. And then we'll talk, as we have spoken with João before, about the situation in Europe. Europe is right now in the middle of what could easily describe as a little bit of social commotion, upheaval. There are some different forces at play at the moment, large segments of immigration. That is not in itself a problem, but the problem is, of course, the inability of some of these groups to become a part of the existing society. They have different values, different attitudes that clash with the locals. So we'll talk about that. But I do want to remind everybody today on February 15th, 1998, remember the Maine. This was the day that the USS Maine, the U.S. ship that blew up in Havana Harbor on this day. And I have a post about this in my blog, by the way, if you want to check it out. And there's even a link to the New York Times on that day. It was an amazing explosion from what everybody says. It really shook up a big portion of the city of Havana. So remember the Maine, 1998. Of course, the consequence of that explosion, it triggered the Spanish-American War. And out of that Spanish-American War, Spain lost Cuba, the Philippines, Puerto Rico. And eventually that led to the independence of Cuba. And another connection to remember the Maine, in the Spanish Navy that went to Cuba to fight the United States was a young man by the name of Ángel Castro. And he is the father, of course, of Fidel Castro. He stayed in Cuba after the Spanish-American War. Let me say hello to my friend João Cerqueira. How are you, João?
I'm fine, Silvio. Thank you very much for the invitation.
Oh, it's always a pleasure. It's always a pleasure. Tell me about the temperatures right now in Portugal.
Well, right now it is raining and it is very cold. It is the winter of the north of Portugal and it is always raining.
So what is the temperature? Give me an idea of the temperature.
Right now, 9 degrees.
9 degrees, okay. So
more or less 9 degrees.
Yeah, that would be like about 40 degrees Fahrenheit. Okay, so does it get colder than this, or is this up,
yes,
like
above? Yes, it gets colder, even colder than this, of course. Right. When it doesn't rain, it can be below zero.
Wow.
Especially in the mountains of the north of Portugal.
Wow. And so how do you stay warm? You have a good fireplace?
Yes, I have.
And there's a lot of firewood around you, so you've got a good supply of firewood, right?
Yes, we have. We do.
Okay, all right. Very good. Well, it's nice to hear about the weather. Tell me about your books and your writings. I know you have, of course, two books that we've talked about, The Tragedy of Fidel Castro and then Jesus and Magdalene. But tell us, what are you working on right now? Or are you taking a little time off? What are you doing?
I am working on a new novel, which the name is Perestroika. And
right.
It is obviously about the end of the Soviet Union and the consequences for those countries who were under the domination of the communist regimes.
Mm-hmm.
I create an imaginary country, and is the result of what would happen what after the end of communism, the lives of the Persians, the revenge, especially the revenge of those who have been oppressed, or the ability to forgive. The
right.
book is
okay.
about that. Revenge
All right,
or forgive, redemption.
Sure. Yes, that's a very human story from the what it sounds like. And when do you anticipate that to be published?
I don't know. I'm still working on the novel.
Okay.
I need after that some people read it and make comments. And only after that I can send to the publishers.
Great. Well, I'm looking forward to the publication so that we can talk about that book on another show. But let's talk a little bit about the topics today. Obviously, the American economy, the U.S. economy, is a huge part of the world, you know, the world's largest gross domestic product. And we've had some growth in the American economy here in the last few quarters. There's some good anticipated growth ahead. So, first of all, are you in Europe, or do you see people in Europe or in Portugal talking about a better American economy?
Of course. American economy is pushing the economies of all the world, and especially Europe, because we have strong connections, strong relations, economic relations,
mm-hmm.
with America. And
right.
Even my country, Portugal, is having a good time at this moment. Because of the growth of the American economy, but also because of the number of tourists that has become to Portugal in the Europe, because Portugal is right now when there is a lot of terrorism attacks against tourists all over the world. Portugal is a safe country. There had never been a terrorist attack in Portugal. The levels of criminality are low. So
mm-hmm.
tourists from all over the world, including America, find in Portugal a very nice place to stay, very cheap, very, very not expensive, and especially a safe place for
right.
for the family.
Good. Well, that's good news. I was not aware of that. That is very good news. I'm happy. What are some of the, just out of curiosity, what are some of the exports, some of the items that Portugal exports to the United States?
Wine, shoes, textiles,
mm-hmm.
Especially that. Wine, shoes, textiles, but also technology, also software. Portugal has now companies that are making software for NASA, for Tesla, for great American companies.
Right. Let me ask you another question about Portugal. Because of the language, because of Portuguese, does Portugal have a very strong relationship with Brazil?
Yes, of course. Most of the Brazilians, especially in the north of Brazil, had a Portuguese ancestor, grandfather or something like that, and they spoke Portuguese. We have a very
right.
strong relation with Brazil, of course.
Right. Now, one of the things that I read in the business pages is that the reduction, as you may know, the latest tax reform that we passed in December that becomes effective now is a reduction in corporate tax rates from 35 to 21%. And this is obviously seen by many business people as a very good step in the right direction to bring business to the United States. I have read in the business pages that some European countries are also considering dropping their corporate tax rates. Are you hearing the same thing? And do you see countries in Europe changing to compete better with the United States?
Well, at this moment in Germany, Chancellor Angela Merkel starts this discussion. Shouldn't we do like the United States and lower the taxes on the companies? This is a new discussion in the European economy because Europe has a very strong welfare state, and without those money from the taxes, it could not be possible to maintain. So this is a very tough discussion.
Yes. I read that a German economist, a prominent German economist, said something like that, what you just said, that Europe needs to keep up the United States. Otherwise, many companies will choose to move to the United States. We're already seeing that. Amazon is making a big investment in the United States and so on. So I guess what I'm hearing you say, please correct me if I'm wrong, what I'm hearing you say is that there's a good feeling in Europe right now about the U.S. economy, and given how important the U.S. economy is, not just to Europe really, but everywhere else, that there's a good feeling at the moment that 2018 and 19 will be good for both Europe and the United States. Am I hearing you correctly?
Yes, there is a good feeling. Even those persons who don't like President Trump, they agree that the economy of the United States is very strong, and that is good for Europe too.
Right, yeah. Well, as I was talking to a Mexican friend recently, he was asking me, what is the best thing that Trump can do for Mexico? And I said, nothing, just a strong U.S. economy. That's the best thing he can do.
Yes, it's the best thing.
That's right. That's the best medicine for international relations. Well, let me ask you about another topic. This is very complicated, this next topic, but you told us a little bit about it the last time we spoke with you, and so I just want to continue that conversation we had. From the information that we get here, and I look at some of the European papers, not every day, but on the internet, you know, you can see the Guardian and El País and you know, the one in France, Le Monde, I think it is, and so on, and the one in Germany. You see some of these stories in the internet. And the sense that we have here in the United States is that Europe right now is undergoing a very difficult problem of let's say two different civilizations: the European Western civilization, more progressive, more tolerant of religion, more tolerant, more open to, let's say, women's rights and so on, is having quite a contrast or quite a clash with the immigrant class coming primarily from countries where there is no such tolerance. Do you see that? If not in Portugal, do you see it in other countries?
Yes, especially in Germany. Angela Merkel, the Chancellor of Germany, she has received, Germany has received about 1 million of refugees from Syria, from Iraq, and from especially Islamic countries. And now they are having a lot of problems because indeed there is a clash of civilizations, of cultures, and those people, they have a different culture. I'm not going to discuss now if it is better or worse, but it's different. And problems start appear in German and many people and other parties, including from the left, not the radical left, but including from the left, start to say that we can't receive any more refugees, and we have indeed a problem with some persons who don't want to learn the language and who don't want to adapt to Western civilization. People, men who harass women on streets, on the music concerts, and this is a very tough problem, a humanitarian problem, but also a political problem. And what to do now with those persons, with those people who are not adapted and don't want to accept our values?
Right. And are there any, do any countries require assimilation? In other words, do they say, okay, if you want to move here, you have to learn our language, you have to at least accept our culture? Or is there any of that going on? Or are, because what I understand is that you have, for example, in France, you have in Paris areas of the city that are completely separated from the rest of Paris. I mean, these areas are parts of the city where it's a foreign country within a country, if you know what I mean.
Yes, they are. And they are not refugees. They are French citizens.
Right.
They are French citizens, but they are Islamic. And they have, in some areas in Paris and also in London, the rule of law is not the national rule of law. It's the Islamic Sharia rule
right.
of law. They have their courts, their judgments, and sometimes even the police is afraid to get there and to maintain the order, the Republican
right.
values. It's very complicated.
It is. It's very complicated. And let me ask you, is it getting better or is it getting worse?
No, it's not getting better.
Right.
It's getting worse, especially in Sweden. There have been a lot of problems and violence and attacks in Sweden and in Norway,
right.
in Denmark. Very complicated.
Yes, it is. I know in Sweden there have been many. You're exactly right. It's been a very complicated topic. Well, we watch it from a distance, and one of the reasons I enjoy reading your columns and your posts on Facebook is because you write about some of these things, and I always find them very fascinating. So
thank you.
I want to thank you for your time. I want to thank you for your time and for joining us today. And
Thank you so much for this opportunity.
Well, my pleasure, and good luck with that novel. You've got me curious now. You've got me curious about your new book.
I will stay in touch with you about this perestroika.
Well, I love the title, Perestroika.
Yes,
I love that title. That is a great. The main character of the book is not Gorbachev, is he?
No. It is not the main character. There
okay,
are a lot
good.
Of characters. None of them is the main character.
Okay, all right. Well, my very best to you, and stay warm in that fireplace, and my very best to your family, and let's do this again very soon. And thank you again for your wonderful contributions to our show and the many wonderful things that you write.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Thank you so much. Our friend Joao Cerqueira from northern Portugal. It's a pretty part of the country, I'm sure, pretty part of the world. And he's been writing quite a bit. He wrote a book, we first met, is that he wrote a book called The Tragedy of Fidel Castro, which is basically a satire about Fidel Castro. And that's how we first met about 4 or 5 years ago. And we talked about that book. He's a very creative, very imaginative person. Exactly the kind of person that would make a good author. So that's why we enjoy having him on the program. Just another quick note about my friend Carlos Geddes, you know, we play his music on the show, and Carlos is playing all around town in different places. He was pretty busy yesterday with with Valentine's Day. But anyway, if you check out his Facebook page, you're going to find out a great deal about where he's at, what parts of town he's visiting, and so on. And I think you're going to enjoy very much his music as much as we do here in the program. Let me get back to the topic that I started the show with, and that's the anniversary on this day in 1898 of the explosion of the Maine in Cuba. I have a post over at Babalu about this, and it'll be appearing on my blog later. I'll put it on Facebook probably tomorrow, as well as Twitter. And it was on this day in 1898 that the American ship, the USS Maine, came into Havana Harbor, and at around 9:45 p.m., there was a huge explosion in the ship, and it shook up the city. I mean, people who remember this will tell you that it really shook up the buildings and the city. It was a major explosion in that ship, and eventually, there were all kinds of conspiracy theories as to what happened. The Spaniards said that it was a provocation by some of the Cuban rebels. Nobody really knew what happened until the 1970s, when they did a study and eventually concluded that it was a malfunction in the engine, and that's what caused the explosion. Of course, that was almost 80 years after the fact, and by that time, none of the principals were still around. And what are you going to say? You know, the war came and the war went, and that was not a long war, but a consequential war, because out of that war came a free Cuba. Puerto Rico became an associated state of the United States, and the Philippines was also associated with the United States. It was a consequential war in that respect. Everybody have a wonderful day. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and thanks again to my friend Joao Chiqueta for joining us. And thanks to you for listening. Bye-bye, everybody.